very important as a prayer, you could say. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from the Lord's law. Let's put that into our hearts this morning. And for those who are able, I would ask that you kneel for prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we are so thankful that you have made this Sabbath day that we can come apart to spend time worshiping you, learning more about you. We thank you for the many, many stories and instructions that are in our Bibles, your word, that we can learn from. And we ask that our hearts will be open today, especially as we are listening to our sermon. Father, we pray that you will be with each one of us that are here, that we will have a very special blessing. We also pray for those that cannot be here for one reason or another. We ask that you would be with those that are homebound, home every day because of their health. We ask that you would send them comfort to know that you are right there with them. Father, we pray that you would forgive our sins, that you would give us clean hearts, that we will come closer to you. We don't want to have anything between us, and so we ask that the Holy Spirit will work on us. Be with Pastor Tanner this morning as he brings us the word, that this message will be especially for us to learn more about you. We thank you, Father, that he can lead our church, and we ask that you would continue to bless him in that. Thank you, Father, for hearing our words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. myth is that keeping God's law is legalism. That if you want to honor God's law, that somehow makes you a legalist and a bad person. We also looked at scripture that refutes that position. A third myth is that God's law was done away with. This comes from misunderstanding some verses of scripture. People genuinely misunderstand this, but it is a myth that God's Ten Commandment law has been done away with. The fourth myth was the idea that God's law isn't really that big of a deal. It's just not that, not as big a deal as people say. And the fifth myth is the idea that God's law is scary or bad. We spent some time diving into that, and we concluded with a point that God's law is a transcript of his character. God's law is a transcript of his character. That is a phrase that Seventh-day Adventists use a lot. We like that word, transcript. And it's kind of one of those things that has crept into Adventist speech. I call it Adventese, our language, all these code words and expressions that we use over and over again. But I want to ask the question, how do we know that God's law is, in fact, a transcript of his character? We say that, and we have Ellen White quotes that we often throw at it. But how do you actually know that from Scripture? How do we know that from Scripture? I would like to do a little Bible study with you. I have in my notes here a chart that has, I think it's 12 characteristics, and I have a column where it shows where God is each one of those 12 things, and a second column that shows where God's law is each one of those 12 things. I'm not going to bore you with all 12 of them. If you want all 12 of them, come talk to me afterwards. But I do want to hit, I think we're going to do 5 of the 10, 5 of the 12. So I would invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. I apologize, we're going to be looking at a lot of verses here in this segment. So go back to Pathfinder days in the Bible drill. Try this out. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. I'll give you a moment to turn there. Matthew chapter 5, 48 is the last verse in Matthew chapter 5. You found it, please say amen.
Amen.
Alright, you are there. Matthew 5, 48. It says, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Okay, so what is the characteristic of God that we see in this verse?
Perfection.
God is perfect. Absolutely, totally, completely, entirely perfect. Amazing. Okay, let's see if the Bible describes God's law in that term. Let's turn back to the book of Psalms, Psalm 19, verse 7. All the way back into the Old Testament, Psalm 19, verse 7. Book of Psalms, chapter 19, not chapter, Psalm 19. Psalm does not have chapter, it has Psalms. Psalm 19, verse 7. You found it? Please say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's read it together. 86. Jumping back and forth between testaments and books. Psalm 119, verse 86. All right, here's some amens coming in. Psalm 119 and verse 86. It says, "Your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully." It's not the commandments persecuting, it's other people. "They persecute me wrongfully. Help me." Notice it says that God's commandments are faithful. God is faithful. His commandments are faithful. You're seeing the pattern here. I can keep going. I'm going to go with just one more. I think we've made the point. Come see me if you want to write down all the verses for all 12 comparisons. I'd like to turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. 1 John chapter 4, and verse 8. All right. John chapter 4, verse 8. You know this. You know the law here. It says, "He who does not love does not know God. For God is love." God is love. One of the most important verses in the entire Bible right here. This idea that God is love. Is God's law a law of love? Yes, it is. And let's look at a text to prove that. Let's look at Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Romans 13, 10. Actually, we could read a few verses before that, but we'll just do verse 10. It says there, "Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." You keep reading the context around it, Paul makes that point very clear that God's law is at its core a law of love. It is a law of love. So, well, I'll give you a break now because your thumb may be getting kind of sore from flipping through all those pages. But you get the point. I can keep going. That God, all the characteristics of God match the characteristics of his law. So it is not far-fetched at all to say that God's law is a transcript, a description of who God is. It is his character written in instructional form for us. I came across a beautiful quote by John Wesley from a sermon that he preached in 1872. Where he says, "The law of God," speaking after the manner of men, "is a copy of the eternal mind, a transcript of the divine nature. It is the delight and wonder of cherubim and seraphim and all the company of heaven, and the glory and joy of every wise believer, every well-instructed child of God upon earth." We see that Wesley shared this similar idea that the law of God is a transcript of his mind, of his character, of who he is. So God's law is a blessing, just as God himself is a blessing. But we might wonder, okay, well, how do the Ten Commandments actually bless me practically? I want to share three purposes with you this morning. The three purposes of God's law. The first purpose of God's law is to convict the world of sin. Its purpose is to bring conviction. We know that conviction is the work of the Holy Spirit. When we realize that we have done something wrong, and then once they have been drawn to Jesus, they believe then that the law is no longer important, that they're done with it. It's done its job, and put it away, and we're here with Jesus, and yay, all is well. But this is an error, and a tragic error, because it forfeits, it gives up the ongoing blessing of God's law in the Christian's life. When the law has brought us to Jesus, it has a purpose of keeping us with Him. And I want you to think of it in this way. When we read God's law in His Word, and we read the high calling, when Jesus tells us, hey, it's not just enough to not commit adultery, if you look lustfully, you've broken the law, if you've done this or that. When we read the law of God, it convicts us. We realize, I can do better. I need to do better. That the standard is actually higher than what I thought it was, higher than I have been living. Every time we read God's Word and we feel that conviction, it points us to Jesus because He is the only solution. It's not enough to grit our teeth and try harder to live up to a high standard. We have to go to Jesus. Thus, the law ever points us to Jesus as our Savior, drawing us closer and closer to Him. Not just once at our conversion, not just at the beginning and then we're done with it, but day by day as we spend time with Him, it convicts us, it challenges us, and it draws us closer to Jesus. And then as we spend time with Jesus, as we come to Him and say, Lord, I need Your help. I can't do this on my own. I am broken. I am helpless. Please, Lord, deliver me. Please, Lord, help me. As we come to Jesus and we study His life in the Gospels and we see the way that He treated every human being with perfect and total love, the way that everything in His life was ordered in perfect love to His Father, as we read that, we see what God wants to do in the life of the Christian, what He wants to do for you and for me. As we see that Jesus, the life of Jesus reveals the perfection of His law, Jesus then speaks to us and He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, follow me. And Jesus in turn points us back to His Word. He points us back to His law. And He says, if you love me, follow me. Follow my teachings. And thus, Jesus points us to the law as the standard by which we are to live. It is a little bit like a spiral, a cycle of looking at God's Word, feeling conviction, going to Jesus, and surrendering all to Him. And then He calls us, go and follow my Word. Follow me. The closer we come to Jesus, the more we see the holiness of His law, the better we understand it, the more wonderful we see that it is. And the more clearly we see the holiness and the beauty of God's law, the more we are driven back to Jesus. God's law and Jesus work hand in hand, hand in glove. And I remind you that God's law is a law of love. It is love. It is about love for God and love for man. ask that you will please give us whole hearts and spirits, that we will allow you to correct us and teach us. But we also acknowledge that we don't have the power to do anything. We recognize that the law is good, but we're not strong enough to change anything about ourselves. So we come before you and ask that if you challenge us, if you bring something to our attention that needs to change, we ask that you will please give us the power, the grace,